Well, folks, if Lent is a journey towards Easter, then I think we can say we're getting there. And maybe that just about sums up where we are as church and country as we're working our way through the pandemic. We're getting there. The problem is, though, we're not quite sure what there is going to be. And how is life going to look on the far side of all of this? Perhaps we need to remember the experience of Israelites making their way through the wilderness towards the promised land, not exactly knowing where they were going, not exactly knowing what they would find when they got there. And yet God led them by a pillar of cloud through the day and by fire by night. Friends, let us continue to trust the same God to lead us through all of these present challenges. And with that in mind, let us worship God.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
Jesus Christ, who has resurrected. Let's come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Father God, you call us into this time and this space, and we come in response to you, hearts ready to sing of our praise and our thanksgiving. Moved by all that you do for us to bring you our praise. Father, we thank you for the wonder of creation, bursting forth with spring around us. We thank you for buds on trees, for the bird song just shouting your glory around us as the birds return from where they've spent winter. We thank you for the love of friends and family and the different ways it's shown in these days. We thank you for the text that speaks volumes, for the smile of eyes rather than mouth hidden behind a mask. We thank you for simple pleasures, a walk with a friend or companion, a phone call, a video call, time spent in leisure doing a jigsaw, a moment spent with a child learning a difficult maths problem. But Father, most of all, today we raise our voices in praise and thanksgiving for the love that is shown to us through your Son. Lord, that you would take on flesh, that you would come and walk this life of ours, teaching us your rhythms, showing us your ways, inviting us to follow, inviting us to learn from you what it is to be fully human, made in the divine image. Lord, we give you our thanks and our praise. But Lord, so often we get it wrong. You teach us to be selfless, to lay down our lives for others. And yet we want to hold our lives tightly to us, controlling everything that we do. We push you aside. Our will, not yours. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we get it wrong. Forgive us for the times when we put ourselves first. Forgive us for the times when we don't see others' need. Forgive us for the times when we cannot forgive ourselves. Lord, may we know that we are forgiven in this moment of confession. May we know that these things that we have done are taken from us. May our guilt be gone. And instead, Lord, in the space left behind, may your love and your forgiveness and your grace well up within us, transforming us and our hearts from the inside out, so that our lives might reflect you in all that we see and do. Teach us to walk in your ways, Lord. Enable us to follow where you lead, that we might grow more and more in your likeness and learn to dance to your rhythm and follow your steps. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, my name's Ellen and I live in Shetland, which is a group of islands and is the most northerly point in the UK. There are lots of things that I love about living here, but one of the things I love is the amazing beaches that we have. Why don't we go and visit one together today?
Welcome to St Ninian's. Let's get down to the beach.
If I asked you what you see, I wonder what you'd say. Sand? Waves? Sky? Grass?
Yes, if you said any of those things, you'd be absolutely right. But is that all we can see? Why don't we go and look a little bit more closely?
Actually, if I take the time to stop and notice, then there are all sorts of things that I can see. Like the reflection of the sky in the wet sand. The colours of the waves. The tracks of a bird. The shapes we can make from things we find on the beach. Plastic, which we can pick up and take away home with us. The pattern the wind makes in the sand. The shape and colour of the seaweed. And there are things I can sense in other ways. The smell of the salty sea air and the feel of the wind on my face. The texture of the grass. The shape and smoothness of the pebble.
Once, when it was getting very close to when Jesus was going to be arrested and put to death on the cross, some people came to Jesus's friends and asked if they could see Jesus, if they could meet him. I wonder why they wanted to see him. I wonder what they were looking for.
Maybe they had heard about some of the amazing things that Jesus had been saying and doing. Maybe they sensed that there was something special about him, and they wanted to see for themselves if everything that people said was true.
But even if they did have an idea about Jesus being special, no one, not even Jesus's closest friends, had yet fully seen how special Jesus really was. None of them yet fully understood all that he had come to do, because he hadn't yet died, and more importantly, he hadn't yet come back to life.
When we first came down to the beach, we could have just taken a quick look, noticed the sea, sand, and sky, and thought, that's beautiful. But by taking the time to pause and look a bit more closely, we discovered all sorts of other beautiful, interesting, and important things.
I wonder whether it's helpful to remember that when we think about seeing Jesus for ourselves. And by seeing Jesus, what I mean is getting to know him and experiencing him at work in our lives. Sometimes I wonder if we can maybe think, do you know what, I've heard that Bible story before, or I know that about God. But I think Jesus is always inviting us to look again, to look with fresh eyes, to look more deeply, because there's always new things to discover and experience with him.
There are lots of ways in which we can see Jesus and get to know him better. Through what we read in the Bible, through people, through the world around us, especially by paying attention to the good things we see or experience. Jesus invites us to take the time to pause, to look again more deeply at who he is, and to share with him who we are.
As we do that, I wonder what new, beautiful, and good things he might have to share with each one of us today. I'm going to go home now, but why don't you stay here for a moment and speak with Jesus, and maybe ask him to help you to see and get to know him better.
Have been born in a royal palace and called your majesty, worn a crown of diamonds and lived in luxury, but he was born in a dirty
is down to earth. He is down to earth. The one who changed the world forever is down to earth. With big celebrities, had anything he wanted, living as he pleased. But he made friends with the poor folks, with the sick and with the lame. He helped them with their problems and he called them all by name. He is down to earth, he is down to earth. The one who changed the world forever is to earth. He could have been full of his importance and felt so very grand. His servants would have bowed and said, your wish is my command. But he wore a crown of thorns, gave everything he had. He gave his life that we might know the great love of his dad. He is down to earth, he is down to earth. The one who changed the world forever is down to earth. He is down to earth, he is down to earth. The one who changed the world forever is down to earth.
Good morning. I'm going to read from John chapter 12, verses 20 to 28. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again.
Hi there. My name is Tony Stephen and I get to be the minister at the West Church in Bankery. My son and I love playing football. We love watching football, going to see a football match. We actually love to invite people to come with us. The last time we were able to physically go, we invited some friends the morning of the game. And it was a bit tricky having done that because we did it on the spur of the moment. And then we had to say, actually, we need to go home and see if we can actually book you some seats near us before we could even let you know if you can go or not. So they had to wait until we could get it organized, just about an hour or so, And then thankfully, we did get it organised and they came and we all had a great time. Imagine being excited, asking to watch something, a football match, and then having to wait to find out if you could watch it, and then finding out that in actual fact, you weren't just going to watch the game, you were going to get to play on the pitch. That would be so much more than you could ever have expected. In the first century, a group of people, a nation known as the Jews, were waiting, hoping for a better time. We can sympathize. A young Jewish rabbi called Jesus of Nazareth had been stirring things up, saying and doing things that actually escalated to the point where even his own Jewish leaders were trying to get rid of him. He is at one point in his capital city, in Jerusalem, for a feast called Passover. And a writer called John, or we call him John, tells us that there were Greeks coming to this festival, this feast. Nothing in a Jewish piece of writing is there by accident. These Greeks couldn't be Jews. That has to happen by birth, so presumably they were fans of the Jewish way, or maybe fans of Jesus himself and his movement. They ask to see Jesus. Jesus, we're told, doesn't answer their request. Seems a bit rude. Instead, he goes on to talk about hours and seeds, making them wait. What is going on? Jesus says, according to John, that the hour has come. Which you've been working, if you've been working your way through John's story, because it's been 12 chapters about Jesus' life, you'll have heard that Jesus has been saying up to now that the hour has not yet come. But now, in response to this request, he says the hour has come. The hour for what? He says, for the Son of Man to be glorified. Son of Man is a term that he's taken to calling himself. It's a name that would ring bells with his Jewish listeners because it comes from a book of hope they clung to in difficult times called the Book of Daniel. And in there, one like a Son of Man is part of how God will put things to right, bring better times. The Jewish people had a fair idea of what they thought that would mean. Currently, they're under the boot of the Roman Empire. So what they hope for, expect, is a Son of Man to be a warrior, a king, a leader, to gather another rebel army and smash the current empire and ideally set up a new Jewish empire. But this Jesus doesn't go for the expected. It turns out that their hopes, expectations, their ideas of what should happen have actually been far too small. Jesus talks about seeds, that when a seed is planted, it seems to die for the benefit of the crop that will follow. The Jesus story is about sacrifice. It's about death. It's about self-giving love. The hour that Jesus talks about seems to actually be about rejecting the stories, the expectations of the time. To reject the story of empire, status, power, wealth, fame, consumption. This story is not about inward-looking interests and lifestyle, or as he calls it, this life. It's not about their particular survival and interests, which is the way that the empire is encouraging everyone to think and to act. Instead, Jesus lives out a bigger plan. God's plan. And this plan is not about empire, but instead about life. The life that he says they were made for. Life in all its fullness. Eternal kind of life. A life of service, of self-giving, love, of sacrifice. The victory in the story, the freedom, is not from the latest empire, the latest lockdown. It's over far more than that. It's a victory over death. It's a victory over the human addiction to mucking things up that gets in the way. It's a victory over all the barriers that get in the way of the relationships between God and his people, between his people and each other, and between his people and the creation. These Greeks, Gentiles, outsiders, fans, simply asked to see Jesus. Did he ignore their request? It seems to me that what this Jesus is saying and doing and living out in his life and his death and his resurrection means that there is good news. And the good news is that those Greeks, and in fact every outsider, gets to join in. To join in fully with what God is doing. To be who they were always made to be. So much more than they could ever have hoped for. To be partners in what God is doing. It's like asking just to watch and finding that you were always meant to join in.
Loving God, we thank you for the signs of spring that are now all around us. And we look forward to Easter and the promise of new life and the hope that it offers us. We know that right now there are many who are much in need of renewed hope. Instead of the despair and the frustration and all that has bound us in these last months. So be close, Lord, we pray, to those who are struggling right now. Those who are anxious, those whose mental health has deteriorated throughout the course of lockdown. Those who have been bereaved. Those who contracted the virus and are still recovering. Those whose jobs have been lost or threatened. And those who are very much at the bottom of the pile, just getting by. Oh Lord, for a renewal of hope we pray. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Eternal anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died to be your Savior and your matchless King through all eternity. Died and rings on high, who died?
crown him the Lord of love, who shows his hands and side. Those wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear the sight.
Friends, thank you for joining us today in worship. I hope you are blessed by the experience. I hope you feel that you've been together with others across the country, even though in the isolation of your own home. Let me thank all of those who contributed today and all of those who, technically speaking, put the service together. We're very grateful to them all. Have a good week. And now, go in peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all and remain with you today and forevermore. Amen.